Welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, a production from Empowering Pumps and Equipment as the voice of the pump and related equipment industry. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 113 of the Empowering Industry Podcast. This is coming out March the 28th, and I'm your host, Charlie Matthews, and I'm joined by my highly energetic co-host, Bethany Womack, because I don't have it today. I've been traveling, so I'm going to let you bring the energy today.
I stayed home this week. I am well rested. I am caffeinated. I'm excited to be here with you, Charlie. So thanks for having me. And thank you to everyone that's listening. We really appreciate that you come back week after week to hear what Charlie and I have to say and hear those excellent interviews that we bring you every week. Do us a favor while you're here and leave a rating and review to help other people find the show. And, you know, we're going to do what we do best. We're going to talk about social media. We're going to preview the news, and we have a great interview for you today. But I know you had an exciting week, Charlie. So fill us in. What'd you do? How was HI?
Yeah. So just to kind of give you a wrap up for the last 2 weeks, we were on spring break. So I did a lot of walking around Hollywood Studios and watching my kids go onto a line for a roller coaster. I didn't do the roller coasters, but I will say, and I brought you a gift that I have for you, but I walked through and did the little motorcycle ride with Carly.
Hagrid.
Yes.
Yes.
You would be so jealous.
And I'm obsessed with Harry Potter to everyone who doesn't understand what's happening now. But I was with Charlie and her kids, and I was like, you have to watch this part of the movie and do this and this when you go there, because I love Harry Potter world so much.
Yeah. So it was a really good roller coaster for anybody who wants to go on one. And, you know, I don't really do roller coasters, but it was exciting. Okay. So I couldn't let Carly, you know, not get to ride. So that was 2 weeks ago. Then I flew from Orlando to Atlanta, did Deeper Women Lead, which was really, really great. Just personally and connecting with those other women was great. And then I flew back down to Orlando to be with the Hydraulic Institute and the pump industry, which was really, it was like a family reunion. We hadn't seen each other in 2 years, and it was wonderful. The other part is that I got to speak on diversity, equity, and inclusion and moderate a panel with Mike Mashad. And we just had like a good chemistry of like what HI could do, what the industry needs.
I feel replaced right now when you're like, I had great chemistry with somebody presenting something.
She's mad.
Wait.
I really missed Bethany. I have to say, I did miss you this week while I was out and about, and people ask about you. So we'll go into that. There's a whole long list. But seeing our industry talk about things like their workforce and what they need and how they're having trouble recruiting people and just what we can do to help them was really, it was powerful. The conversation was powerful, and I feel like we grew as an industry. And so I was just so happy that I was able to be there and to lead a conversation like that was, I don't know, it prepped me because I'm going to be doing that this weekend as well, talking about DEI for the University of Alabama. So I have like a lot of stuff going on. I got to rest my voice. Because I can tell it's kind of like used.
You're going to be on a podcast right now, so feel That's privileged, right. Everyone listening to her talk.
Okay, that is a lot. I've got some more stuff, but I'll save it. Bethany, tell us about your week.
Yeah, you know, I'm here. At one point was going to go to HI, but we just had a lot of family stuff and a lot of bugs going around the house. And I needed to be here this week with my boys. So thank you for, you know, understanding that, everyone that was there and you, Charlie. But so I think we're finally in recovery mode and I'm feeling good. And it's almost springtime. It feels like it's for real springtime, like we're through the fake spring in Texas, which always just brings with it a renewed sense of energy, I think, that's happening. I did get jealous though when I saw your picture with Elena and Crystal at HI. And so it looked like an awesome event. And I'm glad that Empowering Pumps was there representing. And I'm excited to hear more of your DEI talks.
Yeah. And we'll get into that. We'll continue to share with you a couple of announcements that I wanted to make. This is coming out on the 28th. So this is the same time that the maintenance community is having their career growth and leadership forum. I'm going to be talking about how to level up, but there's a lot of other speakers to look for.
Did you clear that trademark with Waterwise Pro?
No, but I did mention him on Instagram and say, okay, good. Can you please come and join me? Because he definitely has that nailed. And I'm going to be highlighting him whether he shows up or not.
That's awesome.
Okay. So then the following week, so next week, we're going to be at the Valve Manufacturers Association's Forum. So Valve Forum is what it's called in San Antonio. So I'm really looking looking forward to that and excited at the same time. So I think I just made a new word.
She's coming to Texas. She cannot stay away. We're excited about the VMAs in San Antonio. It's a great city to visit and exciting things happening there.
Okay, that's enough about our weeks because we could go on and on.
Okay, let's get social. This is where we're going to tell you something you need to know to up your game, to level up in social media. And we always start with hashtag Manufacturing Monday.
Yes. And we're going to start today with highlighting Continental Coatings Corp. They were founded in 1981. Shout out. That's when I was founded.
Good year. It's a good year all around.
Great year. So they were founded in 1981 in Oregon, and it established itself as the essential component of the manufacturing supply chain in the America's Pacific Northwest for more than 40 years. Wow, they just said my age, too. Goodness. All right. Okay, so what a day for me. So for more than 40 years...
Charlie didn't have faith that you could do the math. Y'all, when she was like, that was the year I was born, she didn't really think any of y'all would do the math on that.
I didn't want you to do the math on that, but here we are. So they've been around a long time, very, very well known and established and a sophisticated metal finishing company working directly with engineers, designers, manufacturers, the leaders in the industry to develop custom tailored coating solutions. So strategically placed in the Northwest, you know, away from me who, you know, is in the South. I've got to spread the love. They have service centers all over North America and have international logistics serving their clients worldwide. And they have, you know, these solutions for engineers that are trying to, you know, coat their systems. So check them out. Thank you for being a partner of ours. Thanks for letting me kind of giggle through your promo here. If you listen to this, know that that was with a lot of love. And I think people will check out and see who you are because of this, right?
Yeah.
That's why we're doing it.
Yes. And I just want to say thank you to the Fluid Sealing Association that really taught me how important coatings can be in a lot of these manufacturing supply chains. And so what a great company to highlight for Manufacturing Monday. Check them out. Get involved in that hashtag. It's fun to see what's going on in the industry. Other ways to get involved, we want to invite you to our virtual meetups coming up in April. We have Empowering Women on Wednesday, April 13th. That happens every second Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time. Then we just started our mentorship circle. So it happens every Monday. There's a link in the show notes and on our website of how you can get involved. We've had one, but you can still jump in and get connected, get plugged in, find a mentor, mentor someone else. And then also we have book club featuring the author Gail Rudolph and her book. One meeting has already happened, but you can read and catch up. And the next meeting is going to be at the end of April. It's April 26th, and they'll be covering chapters 4 through 6. So.
Yes, and we had a great group. And, you know, it's one thing to kind of read the book, and it's other to kind of dive in, like we like to do, into these topics that in the real day, like, what did you struggle with today as far as power? Like, did you need to understand, you know, how to power up or power down? And it was really touching that people are sharing their stories and we can still learn from each other. It's all right. We're learning from the book and all of Gail's knowledge, but also our own. And I just want to say that mentoring circles is every month. There's a, you know, there, it's not every Monday, but it's every, it is on a Monday every month that we're having the circles. So you can still get involved. If you missed the first one, you know, just jump in there and join us.
Awesome. And then the Empowering Pumps meetup is April 19th, which is every third Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central. And we have an exciting guest for you coming up on our next Empowering Pumps meetups. We have Nick Turanovo. He's a product manager at Homa Pump Technology, responsible for product development, sales support, and technical expertise. He's worked at Homa Pump in many different capacities over his decade plus with the company, from the shop hand to a repair mechanic to order entry and product engineering, providing a wide perspective on many aspects of the pump industry. And so he's going to be talking to us about lessons learned from the shop floor, which I think is a very important topic to get out. And I think that hopefully all of you will get a lot from.
Absolutely. So shop floor to product engineering to...
It's impressive.
I think we met him. They were highlighting their advertising that they had done and got an award for. So there's, you know, I think it's going to be a really cool conversation. Lots of dimensions there. If you want to join us for any of those things, we do want you to pre-register so we can send you reminders. Make sure you have the Zoom link. Normally that's what it is. And we want you to, you know, show up, turn your camera on, engage with us. And we always want you to engage with us. So stay connected with us at Empowering Pumps using the hashtag Empowering Industry Podcast. Or just, you know, mention me or Bethany. We like shout out too. So I will give a couple. I was looking on our YouTube channel, and the Stay the Course Grad School Tips and Advice kind of, you know, commented on it. And I know this is because of Kaylee Looney, and she's in grad school. And just, I love how that every episode has a different audience that they can bring in. And so I love seeing stuff like that. It's like, it works, right? We're reaching out and connecting the industry. And then the other thing, Bill Tipton's interview.
Such a great interview, by the way.
Thank you.
Just
thank you.
One more time.
Well,
yeah.
Well, we did such a, we've done so much together in the industry. I mean, I've known him for so long and like worked with him so long. And then, you know, I'm at HI and the gentleman comes up to me, John, who we used to work with John Crane, but then he's now at the Hydro after he had a retirement. And then they brought him back, right, for some consulting. So that's a trend if y'all haven't noticed it. So similar to Bill Tipton. But he was like, I listened to the interview and it was so great to see him coming back into the pump industry that's known. And this is why we're doing this, right? Those connections, those, you know, letting the industry know that these tools are out there. So anyway, it was a really great week and it got me super
excited.
I may be expired. I may have done no. too much and gave too
you
much
are
energy.
Over 40 now. So
That's right. 41. It's over. It's over. Okay. Go ahead, Bethany. Get us on track.
Yes. I did want to shout out Stephanie Hadacek, who they just had. Tell me, what was the conference called in Galveston?
Women in Industry. It's like a for power. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she is doing a lot of work to help empower girls in high school to realize their options and going into these male dominated industries. And so I saw it all over her social media this week. She does a great job sharing. And I just wanted to say, good job, that you're doing awesome. And I loved the coverage from that event. Check her out if you're not already connected with her.
So important.
Yeah. Okay. So the main topic we're talking about this week is social media branding, how to make your graphics and images stand out. Why is that important?
Exactly. Why? Why do we want y'all to stand out? Well, we want you, first of all, if you're going to post, we want people to see it. And stats say that, you know, if you are posting something that is visual, that it's going to get more attention. It's going to get more engagement. So we want to just inform you that that's the way to do it, right? A lot of things like the algorithms, they actually prefer visuals and good looking ones too, right? So people are drawn to these eye-catching images. We like to see things that do look good. I mean, we're human. That's one of our traits here. So trying to find something that catches people's eye, it matters. And some of the stats around this, okay, are visual contents get 40 times more. It's more likely shared. 40 times more just to have a visual piece of content with it. I think that's really important. Facebook posts with images get 2.3 times more engagement. I don't know what that 0.3 is, but we're going to leave it in there. And then tweets with embedded images, they get, you know, more clicks, retweets, favorites. And I think it just, you know, like we said, it catches your eye for one, and you stop and you pause and you're like, okay, I'm going to read that. I'm going to see what this is all about. And so that's the first step. Making something visually appealing is very important.
Yeah. And just to kind of get a little deeper in on that, the way that, you know, Facebook, Instagram, these social media platforms work is somewhere in their back end and their geniuses that run an algorithm that none of us understand because they don't tell any of us, they can tell how long people spend looking at something based on how long you're flipping through and how long you're paused on that image. And then the longer people stay on your thing, the more you are going to show up on their feed, because Facebook, Instagram, their goal is to keep people on their app as long as possible. Mm-hmm. So they're going to show them content they like. And if they like yours better because it's interesting visuals, then that's better for you, right?
Yes. So just hang out on ours all day long. We would love that. Go ahead.
Leave it open. Set your computer not to go to sleep. It's fine. It's all good. Okay, so here are three easy steps to make your images look good to get those extra views. So number one, you need to find good images. So I would say hire a brand photographer. Find a photographer that you like their style, you trust them. Get pictures of your product, your business, events, the people that work on your team. And, you know, a lot of times these brand shoots, you can get hundreds of pictures from them and then stretch that content out over a period of time on your social media. I want to say we're still pulling images from shoots that we did in 2016.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I would say you can get thousands of shoots, because I think Bethany just went through thousands of pictures the other day. So
yeah, we did. We did get a lot of pictures from Empowering Women locally. But, you know, there's also no harm in resharing an old picture that you've caught from a photographer. Those pictures are never going to go bad. You're always going to be able to use them for a brochure, other things, but mainly and most frequently on your social media where you're sharing these images. Outside of hiring a photographer and using your images and your people, your other alternative is to find stock images. And there's lots of different websites, Unsplash, tons of different places where you can find free images as well as paying for images. And I would say look through them, find some that have the same kind of feel as your photos from your facility and use those, because you like them, they're appealing. You can tag the photographer, that gets you even more shares. And then we've talked about this in a previous episode about how using photos of people will help people connect more. So people connect more with people than they do products. They like looking at people. It's just something in the way we're built that people make us feel safe. We feel drawn to them. And remember that diversity in your photos is important. People want to connect, and they do, with images that they can see themselves in. They want to see themselves working at your team or using your product, just people that they relate to.
Absolutely. It's so important. And the next step, I guess we'll talk about, is number two, don't skip on the graphics. And I think that we have to know how important it is on social media posts to have a graphic that looks good. It's important. It's important for engagement. And so having a graphics person on your team that can create content is a critical role. They bring a message to life with this eye-catching image, but also, like, they need to be part of your team to understand what you're trying to accomplish with that image too. So they can create different templates. They can use, you know, different types of posts with the same image, but you need to pay attention to the different size requirements. So you may have this template you're using, but you need to change it and adapt it for each platform, because I don't know about you, Bethany, but I think it changes like every other day, it feels like.
It's the bane of my existence. That's what I used to say. Just when you think you've got something figured out and you know exactly what size that LinkedIn and Twitter want something, then something changes about how it's viewed.
But so it's really great to have a person, you know, that you can lean on to resize those images and make them look good. Because, you know, a graphic is not just throwing up a couple different things like a collage and saying, okay, this is a graphic. People can tell if it's a quality graphic or not. And it, you know, back to branding over here, you want it to represent your company. So we want quality images to go out with everything across our platforms. So you can make it cohesive. It does need to be different sizes across the platforms. And, you know, just make sure that you have somebody focused on your graphics so you're not scrambling to create these last minute.
And a big thank you to Mallory on our team. If you want a good example of how graphics can look cohesive and be eye-catching, go check out all the stuff she's making for Epic, our event that the Empowering Pumps and Industry Conference is coming up in November. She's doing tons of graphics right now that we're sharing through our social media, and they all have a consistent look and make me excited to go to the event. And I think that's what you want from your graphics, right? It's to get people drawn in. And the last tip is to be consistent. So consistent in the quality of your photos, consistent in the colors you use in your graphics, the look and feel of your graphics and what you're posting. For one, when people go to, say, your Instagram page and they look at your page, they can see all of your pictures together. And having a page that looks like it goes together, it's just visually appealing. And they're going to say, wow, these people, they got their stuff together. They look good. But then secondly, when you show up in their scroll, when there's, I'm doing a scrolling motion.
I know you've been doing that. I've noticed. It's okay. We moved tons in all of the videos. I've noticed. We just move a lot. So if you're not watching us on YouTube, you should, because you're missing.
When you show up in someone as they're scrolling in their feed, they're going to instantly recognize those graphics as yours. That's that brand awareness that you're building through your graphics. So good visuals, good graphics can help build that brand awareness.
That's right. And I think it takes some time, some strategy. I guess that's the last thing I'll say, you know, some strategy to see what do you want your brand to look like and feel like. And just make sure, you know, you take a look at your current channels and see if that's what you're actually wanting the world to see.
So true. Okay. So now we're going to move into the news. This is where we're going to preview the news that you will see in your inbox this week in the Empowering Pumps and Equipment newsletter. If you're not signed up for that, definitely do. There's a link in the show notes. That way you get the news two times a week in your inbox and get to stay caught up on what's going on in the industry.
Yes. And we're going to start with our industry person of the week, who I actually met this week. Joanna. Exciting. Yes. Joanna is the hydraulic design engineer at Endar, and she's amazing, first of all. She was one of the people that spoke up in our panel discussion, and she was, you know, a first timer, and she just, you know, jumped in. And I love that about our industry and kind of bringing people into it. But she's no stranger to the industry. She's done a lot already.
Yeah. So one of her most memorable things she's worked on at work that she shared in her profile was that she's worked on a Carlsbad project back in 2020. She got the opportunity to take part in the installation of our Axial fish-friendly pumps. The customers explained to us how beneficial it was for them to have these pumps in order to pump seawater without harming marine life. Now, I wanted to talk about this because I saw Elena present on this at WEF Tech this past year, and it absolutely blew my mind, for one, that people were considering the fish and the ocean life that is involved in where these pumps are placed. I was like, they are saving the fish. They are saving the planet. This is the coolest thing I've ever heard. And it's just really cool that Joanna worked on this as well. And she shares a lot of other interesting tidbits and things about her career and advice on her profile. So you definitely want to read it.
Yeah, she stepped in for us while we weren't there for the gala at HI. Okay. So y'all will see her in the world. She's, you know, not afraid to be on display, which I love in a role model. So if y'all know any role models or people doing cool things out in the industry, please nominate them for the Industry Person of the Week so that we can highlight them and get to know them.
Yes. Okay, my news story that I'm sharing with you this week comes to us from our partners, PSG, and it's titled Centrifugal Pump Basics, the importance of the best efficiency point. So This is highlighting their latest edition of the Centrifugal Pump Minute, which are great short videos. This one, I think, is shorter than 4 minutes, and it's a series that they've put out that you can click on, watch through lunch, do when you got a 5-minute chore to do around the house, but some great advice from our friends over at PSG. But in this latest edition of Centrifugal Pump Minute, James Farley, the Senior Director of Product Management for Griswold, discusses why the best efficiency point is so important and how it happens with a centrifugal pump. During the discussion, James also provides an example of pump reliability versus radial thrust. Centrifugal Pump Minute, it's a great resource. Again, definitely something you want to check out and look at the article and watch the video.
I love this. And I also love that I just saw them at HI too. So the PSG was there. They had their branding on. It was really great. So, okay, I am going to share about CF Turbo, who was also at the Hydraulic Institute's annual meeting. They launched a major software update. So they were there. They were on display with it, but you can read about it here. It's a new release that upgraded their software to CF Turbo 2021 R2, if you want to look that up. The release added new modules to the software that grants users the freedom to create and push the limits of conceptual designs for pumps, blowers, fans, compressors, turbines. I'm wondering what else is there that they can do this with. But check it out. The new release shows these new models. They would love to do a demo for you. I know they have done that in the past. So just reach out to them.
That's awesome. And now we get to move into one of our favorite segments of the show. Every week, Charlie, you go out and find amazing people to share their story with our audience. And this week is no exception. Why don't you introduce your industry interview for us?
Yes, it is Jeff Kane. He has been involved in the valve industry and sales for over 35 years. He's worked with DFT, one of our partners, and Deakin Industrial. He's been in regional sales, sales and marketing, vice president of industrial sales. He is and has, I guess, went to college for this in business administration and business management from East Tennessee State. We won't hold that against you, Jeff. I'm really excited to see Jeff. We're going to the VMA's forum where he is a longtime member and has done a lot of training in different committees there, committee work. And so really excited to see him in San Antonio coming up next week. And if you're, you know, debating whether to come and visit, you should, because he's about to retire. And so you need to, you know, just first of all, thank you, Jeff, for all of your work that you've done, all of your energy, inspiration for the industry. And just, you know, it's that moment in time where you get to give back. And so you've been doing that. And I'm really looking forward to you getting to take some time off. Yep. To travel. Y'all take a note of how much travel that Jeff likes, but it's not like he's going to slow down just because he's retired. But Jeff, just thank you. Thanks for being a friend to me in the industry. And I've really enjoyed getting to know you, and I really enjoyed the interview.
Yeah, it's awesome. So without further delay, here's your interview.
Welcome, Jeff, to the Empowering Industry Podcast.
Hi, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to introduce you to our audience. Probably a lot of them already know who you are, but it's always a great pleasure. You have this energy. It's so uplifting and happy, and people want to be around you, I'm sure. So tell us a little bit about who you are and kind of what you do.
All right. I'm Jeff Kam, Director of Sales and Marketing for DFT Incorporated. We're a check valve and control valve manufacturer in Exton, Pennsylvania. I am married. I have two children, a son and a daughter, one in Delaware and one in California. Three grandchildren, two in Delaware and one in California, and a very happy pup-up. So that's the focus of my life right now, is being a good pup-up to those three little ones. So,
and I know you are.
Yeah, the rest of it's all good too. So yeah.
Yeah. And so you've been with DFT for a while, and I'd love to kind of dig into that. Tell us how you got into the industry and what you're doing there now.
Okay. I came into the industry through Hercules Chemical. They were located down in Wilmington, Delaware, at the corporate headquarters. I went to work for them. It was my second job out of college. I was a field expediter, and Hercules was a powerhouse back then, building a lot of chemical plants, mostly polypropylene plants. And so I was this young kid that they hired in there to run and gun all over the United States, going in and out of places and making sure that our equipment was going to be built and shipped on time. And our goal was to have our plants up and running by the 31st of December, so we could capture all the tax benefits for that year. So it was important that we got equipment in. And so I was running all around the country and like a madman with plane tickets and a lot of authority, way more authority than what I probably should have had at that young age. But
and you love it still today, right?
Oh, I still love it. Yeah, I still, people think I'm crazy. I said, I love getting on an airplane. I told my kids, I said, if something ever happened that, you know, that plane went down and your dad was on it, I said, no, I went down with a big smile on my face because I love being in an airplane and flying someplace in the world or the United States.
Yeah, we definitely have that in common. We have the love of flying for sure. Yeah. Yep.
So we were going along real well. And then the recession hit in the mid 70s and we stopped building plants and I stopped traveling and I am not an office person. So I went to my boss and he was a real good guy. I said, Bill, I can't keep shuffling papers. I need to do something. He said, what do you want to do? I said, sales. I always love sales. And he said, well, we'll see what they have. So he went back to corporate and came back and said, I got good news and bad news. We have a sales job. I said, well, that's good news. I said, what's the bad news? He said, well, he says more good news. He says, it's in water, wastewater treatment products, chemicals. I said, well, that's a lifetime job there. That'll never go away. I said, all right, what's the bad news? He said, it's in Wisconsin. Now, I love the state of Wisconsin. So if you're listening from Wisconsin, don't get upset, but I'm as far north living as I ever want to be in Delaware and Pennsylvania. And I'm not a snow guy. So I said, no, I'll have to pass on that. So Bill went to one of his purchasing agents and put the word out to find a job for me. So two gentlemen came in from Zomox Corporation. They were privately held valve manufacturer back then. And I met with them. They flew me to Cincinnati to do some more interviews and testing. And lo and behold, I got the job, went to work for them. And that's how I got in the valve industry. You know, it's just like the movie Godfather. Every now and then you decide to get out and they pull you back in. So I got out of the industry for a little bit, but then got pulled back in. So the last run's been about 24 years in the valve industry. So, it's a great career. I mean, I know it's not a glorious career. People coming out of school now looking at different things and might not, but I've been able to travel the world and see and do an awful lot of great things that I never thought I'd be able to do. Just because of the valve industry, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, there's a couple of things you said that are just so key. I mean, one is just understanding what you want out of life, what you know, and you don't take the job that doesn't seem to fit with what your life and your purpose and where you want to be. And I think, you know, the other part of that is there are so many careers that matter. And like you said, the water, wastewater, that, you know, that job there, you could see the value in that. And so you did get to be with water and chemicals and everything else in between with the valve industry. So I think that's really important.
Some of the things that I've been able to go in and see, I mean, you drive down the road and you look at a big building there with a stack or something and you wonder what's in it. Well, I get the opportunity to see what's inside of it. I remember taking a 2x4 and driving a nail in it, sticking in a stream, and that was my ship going down the stream. Next thing I'm in Coburner Shipyard, we're laying the very first keel. We're building a tanker. I'm part of doing all that, supplying a lot of the valves and fittings and gauges and stuff going into that ship. And next thing, here comes President Clinton, who's gonna, you know, do the ceremony there. And I'm shaking his hand. I shook the hand of President Bush. All because of industrial ties and being places that I never thought I'd be. So
yeah, what a great industry, the shipyards, and being able to see that the creation of a ship and all the parts that go into that is remarkable. I also got to see a shipyard, and I saw the boat right before it got the ceremony. It was right before it went into the water. But it's a remarkable industry and so much
it goes into creating the things that we need to survive, and you can be proud of that.
So many people, you know, like drive by things and wonder what's going on there. And we get the opportunity of being a part of it. I mean, our valves went into projects that were used for, you know, recently and, you know, on the COVID vaccinations. I mean, you never know what we're going to get involved with next. It's been a great career.
Yeah. And you do have to understand the industry. You have to understand your products. You have to understand, like you said, you know, your integral part of creating this product. And so, you know, a lot about valves, so much so that you've gotten involved. Yeah, okay. I know just a little bit. You've gotten involved in the VMA. Y'all done, you know, different courses there. There's kind of like a petting zoo that they have where you can touch and feel the equipment. Tell us a little bit about your involvement in these associations and other, you know, organizations.
Well, the valve manufacturers, you know, it's a group in the industry, and you have to be a North American valve manufacturer to be part of it. And there's a group of us that got together, and we're in a group that's the Valve Education Committee. There's a lot of different groups that are, we're all volunteers. So there's a lot of different groups in the VMA that get together. I'm part of the Valve Education Committee. So again, we're employees of valve manufacturers that have an area of expertise, and we donate our time and pay for all our expenses and everything else to go to these different training sessions that we do. We've done them in person, and we also have done them virtually. So there's different times that's offered. We'll go back to the Houston Safety Council in November of this year. We usually have a big turnout for that one down there. But anybody that's interested or getting into the industry, what have you, it's a real quick, you know, a couple day hardcore, you know, study that we can give you everything valves, you know, from manual and automated valves in a real quick crash course. And we do it without any bias. I mean, I don't go there wearing a DFT shirt. No one talks about how great, wonderful their product is. You just point out the positives and the negatives to everything that we're, you know, getting involved with, and talk about real world situations and help to explain to anyone that's attending it, you know, what is all about valves and what they can do and what they can't do. So,
well, I'm really looking forward.
The petting zoo has been the biggest deal. The petting zoo, everybody loves the petting zoo, when they pick up those valves and do a touchy feely on them, and they can see. They don't have to listen to me talk anymore. They can pick the thing up in their hand and move it all around and shake it and rattle it and say, oh, okay, this is a swing check valve. Now I got it. So,
yeah, I think that absolutely helps you remember, and just, you know, the training aspect of having something in your hands. Yeah. And then you do have the valve forum that's coming up in April that I'm excited about. I love the design of that. It's one of my favorite conference designs where they have manufacturing and marketing and the technical side. And so I love that. And so I'll see you there, hopefully.
Well, I booked my flight yesterday for San Antonio, flying in on Tuesday and flying back out Friday afternoon. So
wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the World Trade Center and your involvement there. That seems super cool. And it was on my list to check out, like, in my area. I haven't done that yet. It's a reminder to myself here, but tell everyone how you worked in that.
Well, we joined the World Trade Center. We're in the Philadelphia region World Trade Center, and they work jointly with the state of Pennsylvania. And I would highly advise everybody out there to check with your states, because a lot of times there's money available that you may not know that's available that will help to subsidize some of the travel or the trade shows that you do and what have you. So I've been lucky enough to be, I've flown all over the world with backing and funding partially from the state of Pennsylvania and in conjunction with the World Trade Center. And then one year we were doing a lot with them, and I was going to Chile and Peru and Australia, I think to Australia twice, and South Africa and Germany twice, and I've been to Brazil with the World Trade Center. I've been all over the world with them, doing either sales calls or trade missions or trade shows. And so it was a great opportunity for us. And one year we were fortunate enough that we were selected as the manufacturer of the year for the World Trade Center, you know, out of the Philadelphia region. Unfortunately, I was probably making sales calls when they had the presentation, so I didn't get to make it, but that's okay. Everybody else seemed to have a good time that night. So,
yeah. And you know what? I think that's so remarkable. And, you know, we do find things when we're passionate about something, how, if we can align our passion with our work, it makes the days go by really with a lot of joy. So, yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about that. And just really advice for people, you mentioned it a little bit, but advice for people getting into the industry, what would you tell these people?
Number one, I told my children the same thing, aspire to be the best. I don't care if you're the best electrician or HVAC technician or welder or garbage truck driver, whatever you are, be the best, because someone will always pay and request the best. I've never heard anybody request, give me the worst electrician or a mediocre plumber. You know, you want the best. And that's what you need to aspire for, is to be the best and focus, you know, do it as a rifle, not a shotgun. Focus on a target of what you want to be the best at, and you'll succeed and do well.
I love that. And I just want to kind of go back just a little bit to DFT. Tell us a little bit more about the products that they have there.
We're actually a over 100-year-old company, the Duralva company out of Canada and what have you. And then it was moved to the United States. They were in gasketing, and then they did pump valves. And then in the early 1940s, they were asked by the United States government to develop a valve for a project that they were working on. And that project wasn't shared with us or anything else at the time, but it turned out to be the Manhattan Project. Mm-hmm. And so after that was, you know, that was over and what have you, we got the patents and rights back to our valve. And we actually started as a check valve manufacturer in the early 1940s. And then we've just broadened our product offering. Everything we do is a non-slam silent axial flow style check valve, which means it is spring assisted and it's guided in some form or fashion as a guide to it. So we do those from half inch up through currently 36 inches. We have a complete machine shop and everything here. We do not import any fully assembled valves here. We assemble, test, we 100% test everything we make here. And then we also have a severe service control valve line that we do, and I oversee both of those. So it's fun. It's a fun job. I can't believe they pay me. It's like, geez, you get to come to work, you're going to pay me too. So it's all good.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I work with a great group of people. The people were, you know, people here are everything. You know, we have a good bunch, and we like solving problems. I tell people we're not a commodity valve manufacturer. We're an engineered valve manufacturer. We look for an engineered solution to a problem. We size check valves, which, you know, and was unheard of. Now more and more people are starting to talk about it. But I remember asking somebody to give me the information on, because I wanted to size their check valve. They looked at me like I was from the moon. You know, it's like, what do you mean size a check valve? I got a 12-inch piece of pipe. Give me a 12-inch check valve. That's not that easy. So,
well,
and then explain to them why I'm asking all these questions. And everybody gets it after that. So,
well, I love it. And I think you are one of the best salespeople out there. So if anybody takes your lead, they'll be doing great.
I see, I sold you.
Yeah, you sold me. I'm like, okay, what do I need, a check valve? I might, you know, I needed a valve. You know, I repaired my valve. So I got lots of stories around that. But I think, you know, I will tell everybody, you are headed towards retirement, and if they want to see you and interact with you, since they should, because of the vast knowledge that you have, y'all check out the Valve Forum that's coming up in April. And anything else that you want to leave our audience with?
No, life's good. I mean, just like I said, I've always had fun, you know, coming to work. I made up my mind a long time ago, if I ever had a job that, when I swung my feet over the side of the bed and had to sit there and think about whether I really wanted to go to that work, to work that day. That was going to be my last day at that job. So when you get in that situation, it's time to find something else to do. And there's plenty of opportunities in the world to do it. You just need to figure out what it is you want to do and how passionate you are about doing it and go for it. But it's been a great ride. I can't believe it's going to be, the ride's going to be over, but you know, at some point in time, it's just, there's fish to be caught, grandchildren to mess their hair up and tease and torment and things like that. So drive my wife crazy. You know, why don't you go outside and find something to do? So I'll think of all those things. I'm into cars. I love cars. So I'm going to be very, very busy this summer with my cars and going to shows and stuff like that. And then I've got a whole building for car projects that I bought years ago to have something to keep me out of mischief when I retired. So I think between all those things, I'll be very, very busy.
Yes, you will. And you'll find all kinds of ways to give back as you do every day. Yeah. I'm excited to stay in touch with you, to see you coming up here in April. Really glad that's going to work out. And then, you know, just Jeff, stay in touch with us and definitely we'll connect everybody with DFT and you on LinkedIn so that they can stay connected with you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being here today.
I look forward to seeing you in San Antonio.
And we're back. Charlie, thank you for doing the interview. Jeff, thank you for coming on the show and sharing all of your expertise. Fun moments from the interview that I liked was how he referred to this industry as the mafia and how he tried to get out, but they pulled him back in, which it's was true. Out for like a year and then came back in. So like, I understand the concept that he's getting at that I really liked. And then I just thought it was some really great life advice, mm-hmm. career advice from a person with that much experience in the industry and talking about finding the joy and finding a job and a career that allows you to be happy every day when you wake up and go to work. And I just thought he's done some really cool things in his career. And I'm excited that I get to meet him, talk to him in San Antonio before he retires.
Yeah. So. And you know, he did give some advice, some real personal advice on boundaries and, you know, I love the part where he's like, hey, that job sounds really good and everything, but that's not where I want to live. And I want to be here with my family. And it was, yeah, real world advice. Make sure you know what your goals are, your values are, and stay true to that in your work. And you'll be happy. I mean, he looks so happy in that interview, right? Like just
and
joy.
Let me just say on behalf of your grandkids, they are the luckiest grandkids ever. Because he's talking about his whole goal in life is to be the best pop pop and mess up their hair right now. And I'm just like,
you can totally see
adorable.
It. I know you can totally yes. see it. So great salesperson. Anybody out there, you know, well, y'all heard it now. Y'all know. Anytime, I guess, that you know somebody like this, please direct them to us because we get a lot of energy yes. from these interviews. So, I mean, that brings us to the end of the show, Bethany.
Thanks for listening. Do a favor, subscribe, rate and review to the podcast, 5 stars, however you rate on whatever platform, we'll take it.
That's right. You can always reach us at Empowering Pumps or using the hashtag. Email us podcast@empoweringpumps. And I really want you to know that we look at these things and we'd love to hear from you. I'm not just saying that. We don't want just reviews. By the way, Bethany, on reviews, Jackson left you a review when you mentioned him on his birthday. So shout out to Jackson for, you know.
Thank you, Jackson.
Yeah, he figured out how to work, you know, the podcast.
Favorite kid status, just going to say.
Can't say anything like that. Okay, close us out.
We'll be back every Monday with a new episode.
So until then, be empowering. You empowered me today, Bethany.
The caffeine.